Hello, we begin this news hour with the historic deal that formally ended the conflict in Northern Ireland. It's been 25 years since the peace treaty known as the Good Friday Agreement was signed. But the road to peace was difficult for many, with more than 3,700 people killed. Violence broke out between communities in 1969. British troops brought in to keep the peace became the target of armed attacks themselves. The conflict was between mainly Protestant unionists who wanted the northeast corner of Ireland to remain part of the UK and Catholic nationalists who wanted to see Ireland united. The large-scale fighting may be over, but tensions remain. Al Jazeera's Andrew Simmons has more from Belfast.
They're expressing gratitude for 25 years of peace. But those working to bring divided unionist and nationalist communities together believe reconciliation is a long way off.
I don't think that work of healing was ever done in drawing our communities together and in uniting our hopes for the future, in us saying that the other is no, or should be, no threat, that we can coexist in the way that many communities across the world managed to achieve.
The hatred and distrust was born of a 30-year conflict. 3,700 people died, more than half of them civilians. Paramilitaries from the Irish Republican Army wanted the British Army out. Protestant gunmen mounted their own campaign. It ended with what some observers called a political miracle. Power sharing was the central prop, but the main players, democratic unionists in the DUP and nationalists in Sinn Féin, have been at odds. Right now, the seat of devolved government at Stormont is defunct after the DUP walked out in a dispute about EU trade laws and Brexit. Alan McBride is among those accusing politicians of letting their people down. In 1993, an IRA bomb in Belfast Shankill Road killed 9 people. His wife Sharon was one of them.
We have a relative peace here in this country at the minute. We don't have reconciliation. We still have Sinn Féin and the DUP at each other's throats. It's very simple. I believe that we need more kindness in our politics. And I think for far too long, both Sinn Féin and the DUP have only ever really cared about what matters to them.
The big question is still this: how can Republicans and Unionists somehow accept their respective traditions, their cultures, their identities, when they're synonymous with such a violent history? On Tuesday, the US President Joe Biden will be visiting Northern Ireland. He's known to be concerned about the effects of political instability on the Good Friday peace agreement.
We can now bring in Andrew Simmons. He's joining us from Belfast. So, Andrew, 25 years on, how solid is this agreement now?
Well, it's established, it's well established, it's had the effects they all wanted, particularly the political leaders. And Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of the UK, has praised those political leaders who managed to sign up that deal as being brave, having persevered and having political imagination, an amazing achievement. However, there are concerns, there are worries about the political instability, as I touched on in that report. It is going to be the case that when the President Joe Biden addresses the Ulster University on Wednesday, which is his main engagement in Belfast, that whether or not he will touch on that instability and make any calls for more pressure on the leaders of Northern Ireland to actually get their power sharing machine going again. Now, it has to be said that the post-Brexit trade deal with the European Union is a pressure point with the unionists, and that has spiralled to a point whereby they don't take part in government, and nor does Sinn Féin, and that is a major issue. Also, pressure that could lead to areas of violence. It has to be said, no one can certainly rate the violence as being that serious, as that much of a threat, but it could relate to political events. So, for example, here in Derry, Londonderry, as it's officially called by the British, but Derry by the locals, here, where in 1969, on the Battle of Bogside, where there were riots and clashes between the two communities, where many historians feel the so-called Troubles began, there is some tension right now because there are dissident Republicans on an unauthorised march in an area called the Cregan. That's taking place later on. Also, there is a worry about former loyalist paramilitaries because they are upset about that post-Brexit deal. So the US president is going to have a lot to look at. Whether he'll say a lot is another matter.
All right, thank you so much. Andrew Simmons reporting for us from Belfast. Well, Al Jazeera spoke to two young men born the year the deal was signed, so they shared their hopes for the future.
My name is Joshua Murray. I'm from a Catholic background in Northern Ireland. On the news every day, you heard about a bombing, shooting, something dreadful that was happening, and this was something that was kind of interspersed throughout Northern Ireland. It was something that sort of affected life in every way.
My name is Zachary Hutchinson, and I come from a Protestant background here in Northern Ireland. Still quite a divided society, especially at that point, very much based on religion between Protestant and Catholics. It was still very much a dark place, even kind of in those more rural, what you would term tranquil areas by the sea. You know, there were still atrocities that occurred.
The agreement creates new institutions, a Northern Ireland Assembly, to restore to the people the fundamental democratic right to govern themselves.
There was a sense of kind of hope and optimism on the 10th of April in 98 that wasn't there in previous decades, that sense of a new start, of a change of trajectory, of hope for Northern Ireland.
For the older generation, there is that history of violence, and therefore the history, the kind of suspicion almost that each side will have towards one another. It will probably be lesser and lesser as time goes on, but I don't think it'll ever really go away.
I believe in Northern Ireland. I believe that it does have a prosperous future ahead of it, regardless of the difficulties that are there. There's certainly cause for optimism and then hope.
There's no doubt that Northern Ireland, with the divided neighbourhoods, with the divided schooling system that exists here, remains very much divided. I think only 13% of pupils in Northern Ireland attend integrated schools. So that means that 87% go to an exclusively Protestant school or an exclusively Catholic school. So a lot of today's children are still growing up divided from one another.
There is a growing sense of Northern Irishness across Northern Ireland. I think the census results actually reflect that as well, that more people are identifying as Northern Irish rather than Irish or British.
There's still a way to go, I suppose, before Northern Ireland resembles a normal functioning Western society.
As I've grown older, I've realised actually there is more that unites us than divides us in terms of faith.
Those two communities are here and probably will remain here, but thankfully not being violent generally towards one another and living in relative peace.
Let's now speak to Deirdre Heenan, who's a professor of social policy at Ulster University Belfast, that's in Northern Ireland, joining us from there. Welcome to the Al Jazeera News Hour. So, you know, many people say that it was an agreement that took enormous political courage and vision to achieve. But 25 years on, how fragile does this agreement remain?
Well, I think in the first case, it is important to recognise the transformational nature of the Good Friday Agreement. It has absolutely revolutionised society in Northern Ireland and indeed politics in Northern Ireland. It brought to an end what we thought was an intractable conflict where over 3,700 people lost their lives and many thousands were injured and had life-changing injuries. So I think it is important that we don't gloss over the fact that this was a huge moment in our history and something that many people thought they would never live to see. It is true, however, that it has been an imperfect peace, that peace in Northern Ireland has been fragile and volatile, and that our government, for example, we agreed many principles in the Good Friday Agreement. Those principles are immutable. Those principles are around respect, power sharing, understanding of each other, reconciliation. And so what we are saying is that we need to go back to those principles and ensure that we can build a prosperous future based on the principles that those visionary leaders agreed 25 years ago.
Right. And we have the visit of the U.S. President Joe Biden coming to Northern Ireland, because, of course, the U.S. did play a key role at the time in brokering that agreement. How significant is his visit, and what will you be looking out for?
Well, I think his visit is hugely significant. We are honoured to have such interest from the US, and in particular this Irish president who uses his Irishness. He wears his Irishness on his sleeve, but he is deeply interested in the island of Ireland. And this is not a recent thing. This is something that has marked his presidency, but also marked his political career. I think it is hugely significant that he has decided to spend time to come and visit us. Of course, I'm delighted that his visit is happening on our new £350 million campus in the centre of Belfast, a campus that we couldn't have dreamed of two decades ago. And so he is coming there, and we're hoping that the focus will be on the future. We're looking at a very different backdrop than we were 25 years ago. Yes, we have that relative peace and stability. Now what we need for our young people is prosperity, hope. And what Northern Ireland is crying out for at the moment is leadership. Leadership and ambition. We need our politicians to get back into government, to understand that there are a generation of people who feel that they've been failed by this Good Friday Agreement. But what they want is prosperity, the hope of a stable future.
Yeah, and of course, the government has been paralysed. Just allow me to jump in for a second. The government has been paralysed, and that was as a result of a dispute over trade rules. So when you look at the issue of Brexit and what's happened in the past few years, how much does Brexit pose a threat to the agreement?
Well, I don't know that it poses a threat to the agreement, but it was quite clear when the EU... when the UK decided to leave the EU, that would have a destabilising effect on this island, that we are the only part of the UK that shares a frontier with the EU. So there were many warnings about how this could destabilise a fragile peace process. In fact, John Major and Tony Blair came to the city of Derry and said that, you know, what would we do about the Irish border, and warned that if we left the European Union, that pieces of the constitutional jigsaw would be thrown up in the air and no one seemed to know where they would land. Those warnings were largely ignored. And the difficulty is Brexit means borders. Borders are baked into Brexit. And of course, people realise that that would have a destabilising effect on a fragile peace process. So post-Brexit, we now have the Windsor framework. And we want that Windsor framework to work because it allows us dual access to the EU and the GB markets.
Right.
We also have an all-Ireland economy. And so it really gives us a unique opportunity to look forward, bring inward investment, and bring the prosperity that was promised 25 years ago.
Thank you so much, Deirdre Heenan, for speaking to us from Belfast.